This is the Living Fearless Today podcast, a show that helps men like you and me who are struggling to get unstuck and overcome fear to live confidently and courageously. I'm your host and transformation coach, Mike Forrester, helping you create the change you want now. Join me as I interview men who've conquered their challenges and soared to success as they spill their secrets on how they live fearless today. Well, hello and welcome back, my friend. This week, I have a friend with me who is just wicked smart. He is creative, energetic, and anytime I've gone to, you know, podcast conferences, I am always looking for him because I see his smile. I know he's upbeat. He's a connector. He just brings his best self wherever he's going. Doesn't mean that life is necessarily, you know, always like rainbow and Skittles and unicorns and all that stuff, but he's showing up in the best way that he can for himself and others. And man, it's always great to see Junaid Ahmed. And man, if you're looking on YouTube right now, you can see his smile, man. It just glows. So this is what I get to have the pleasure, you know, having sitting in conferences with him, learning, talking, just being, you know, encouraged and sharing the challenges. I think this is what we as men often miss out, is somebody that can, you know, listen and also speak, you know, that we're open to speaking back into our lives. And so Junaid is that one of those men. He is that guy that shows up in so many ways, but shows up authentically as him. So Junaid is founder of Humble Zone, which is like apps and websites and just all kinds of nerdy stuff, which I love geeking out on with him. As you also look at his background, man, you're going to see his studio. Man, it just looks absolutely amazing. You can see him now from the back there. He's just got it all laid out. So the guy, man, quintessential home studio designer, equipper, connoisseur, I guess. I don't know. That's what we say on that, Junaid. You got a gift for it, my
friend.
Thank
you, brother. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, dude, it looks great. Always does. And man, your smile, both, you know, smile all over your face. So welcoming. And I appreciate it, man. You always bring the best.
Mike, I'm super excited to be here and I get to talk to my brother over here, right? I get to talk to my friend that, like, we hung out together for so many times, talking about the deepest, darkness in our hearts, or you know, the things that we don't get to talk about a whole lot. We got to talk about those things. So super excited that I get to share a little bit of that here as well on the show.
I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you for coming and being open to share, because, dude, we, you know, this is not something that is necessarily the norm for us as men. And so being able to have somebody that's like, yep, this is the challenges I face, you know, gives that hope. And also then being able to see, hey, you know, Junaid's now on the other side. He's working through these things. He's on the other side. Dude, it gives a reality and kind of that transfer of belief. So in you sharing your story, you know, it changes lives that we're not going to see in a normal conversation like this, but by somebody else hearing it, another guy,
yeah,
dude, they can step up in a way that they weren't, you know, weren't feeling like they could before. Mm-hmm. So dude, let's step off with, what does it look like today? You know, you've got the studio, you know, you've got your family, you've got a lot of plates, so to speak, spinning. What does life look like today for you, man? Yeah, exactly. Spin them fast.
Well, I've got, I'm a, you know, happily married to my wife for, you know, 19 years now, and four kids, ranging from 15 all the way down to 3. And, you know, they're just such a pleasure to be around, as well as in it's heartwarming when you have kids, and you know this, right? You're a parent. So that's who I am. And I try to create scenarios or try to give them opportunities to see what's possible. And in this world that we're living in, anything is possible if you put your mind to it. The conversations that I've had on my own podcast that I've been running for some years literally show me pathways of other people and how they've taken their passion to profit, how they've overcome struggles. And when you listen to enough stories like that, guess what happens, right? You start to see yourself take those leaps and bounds and challenges and take over things that hold you back. The other thing that also helped me was reading the books, you know, putting the more good stuff we put in our minds, the more good stuff's going to come out. So where I am right now, I'm helping people, entrepreneurs, podcasters, business owners, set up their studio spaces in their homes or in their offices for podcasting, marketing, whatever you call it, so that they can show the best self, they can show professionally, and it automatically gives them confidence and, you know, speaks to their authority as soon as they show up on camera. People stop the scroll and like, okay, this guy paid attention to his look. I got to listen to what he's got to say. And that's like an innate thing that us human beings do, right? Why do we watch movies? Why do we watch TV shows? They put so much effort into creating something beautiful, telling those stories. So I help with the backside of before you even go in front of the camera, what do you got to do? Set up the space. So once you have that space set up, now you can tell your story. It's almost like you get to focus on that storytelling. Like, I didn't start that way, but that's what I get to do. And we've built actually some local studios as well, and then helping people, you know, produce that content and, you know, get that out to the world. So that's what it looks like right now. Some of the other cool projects that I'm working on is building a media school or teaching students how to podcast or be journalists and stuff like that. So bringing in people around me to then teach these students from high school and, you know, people who just graduated. Hey, there's so much more that they can bring to the world than they are shown or, you know, they have taught to think about.
One thing, like, dude, you're doing so much to equip and encourage other people, right? To move them from where they are to where they can be. And we've talked about, you know, self-doubt before and our limiting beliefs. And that is like the kryptonite that just imprisons us with where we are, stops us. It's almost like the elephant that has been trained, you know, by chains to stay in place. And then they replace it with like a itty bitty rope that that anybody could move. Mm-hmm. And that's much like our limiting beliefs that we buy into. When you look back, Junaid, how did those limiting beliefs and that self-doubt impact you? And how did you then move beyond it?
You know, it's such a powerful question. And a lot of us don't think about them as limiting beliefs. We just think of them as life, as a norm, right? Because that is the environment we grew up in. But as soon as you start stepping into places or start going into places where you are celebrated, you are encouraged, you are supported, you're able to start seeing more of yourself. But then the other thing that you, that a lot of people, that a lot of us, we don't do is reflect on our lives. That's easier to do when you're much older. Like, you know, I'm in my late 40s, you know, so it's easier to, like, our minds become a different animal. Like, human beings literally change past 40, because before 40, you're a youth. Past 40, you're now mature. All right. So that helps you overcome a lot of things, but then you need people around you. You need those cheerleaders, you know, the support people, you need the mentors to actually enable you to see, hey, what else can you do? So when I came first to the US, you know, I came from a school system and my parents were very open, you know, do whatever you want, you know, but make sure that you're doing good in school. but you can literally pick anything you want. But then growing up here, I was introduced by my uncles, you know, hey, I'm buying and selling cars. Hey, I'm putting up these tents. I am, you know, selling these books and DVDs and VHS tapes at mosques. So they're showing me anything is literally possible. You just got to keep doing it. And the more I saw that, I was like, wow, this is really fascinating. And it inspired me to continue to grow. And self-doubt is something that, you know, you can either stay with it and, you know, just beat yourself up upon it, or you can take action and write down what you're feeling. Because what's happening is we're thinking about all these things, but you were not doing anything about it. And the first thing that you can do about it is either speak about it. That's why they have AA meetings, like, hey, you gotta acknowledge, right? You find that community of people that are also going through the same issue so you can expel it out of your body, or you start journaling. And when you start journaling, you're now giving your mind space to actually process, okay, what is it new? And then what's beautiful is that we have so many books available to us. So many different things also invite us to, or inspire us to, you know, step outside of that comfort zone. Now, there was one time I was on a road trip with my colleague. My colleague is, you know, he's smoking, he's driving, and I'm sitting here on the laptop transcribing lyrics from songs that I'm listening to. And he's like, what are you doing? Like, it's like a 10-hour drive. It's like, what are you doing? So anyways, long story short, it was 3 a.m. at night, and I'm watching this infomercial and Tony Robbins pop up. This is 2003. And as I watch him, I was like, oh my God, I need to have this. I bought those DVDs. And again, I found a mentor that could, from far, far away, help me realize what I can be and step out of my comfort zone and be, know that it's good enough. Like, where we are is a perfect place. All you got to do is just keep moving forward.
And I think that's the one thing that we kind of overlook, mm-hmm. is it's like when we're used to talking about mentors, right? It's like, I have to have somebody physically in front of me, or, you know, somebody physically that's mentoring me. And yet they're, like you've talked about, you bought, you know, a product from Tony, but there's books, there's podcasts, there's so many different tools, mm-hmm. where we can be mentored, you know, taught, encouraged, coached along.
Absolutely.
Without having it to be dependent upon that person being accessible when we are. And it's like, you know, you talked about some books, you know, that books were a pivotal thing for you.
Yeah.
So as we're talking about, like, limiting beliefs and you know, mindset, what are a couple books that really started you, you know, on that change of, you know, seeing the bigger picture and what's possible?
So the beginning was, right, the Tony Robbins Personal Power CD set. That was the beginning. And then I learned about Audio Tech, with these were 30-minute book summaries. And I listened to 7 Habits of Highly Effective People on there, right? 30-minute version. There's a book that I read, The Magic of Thinking Big, right? And when you read stuff like this, it just opens your mind and you start changing. And then the other thing that I was crazy about was technology, right? So as soon as I came to the US, I was like, I got to get on America Online. I had no idea what it was, because in Saudi, my dad would bring these CDs, and I'm like, what is that? America Online. So when I came to the US in 95, I got to get online. So when I got online, I started seeing the chats, I started seeing all these things. I put myself in places that were uncomfortable and helped me to learn new things, right? So one of the biggest book that had a huge impact on me almost 8 years ago was Gary Vee's book, Crush It. And then later on, his second book, Crushing It. And after the second book is when I started my podcast, because he literally said, You don't need to have a story. You just need to document your journey.
Yeah, it's one of those, I think we're on the journey, but just like we talked about self-awareness, we're often not looking at the journey because we don't think there's the worth of it, right? We don't see our worth, and so there's no worth in the journey. And it's almost like this snowball effect. But when you're talking about getting, you know, these books and being mentored through these different resources, dude, that can change like our whole perspective on things.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, I know you and I have talked about like the gap and the gain, right? The difference of seeing things of like, oh, I've made this progress, or, you know, hey, I'm not where I was.
Exactly.
But we don't celebrate that stuff. We're more focused on like the negative aspect, right? I failed. I didn't make this.
Yeah.
Instead of, dude, look at where I was a month ago, 6 months ago. Anytime you're focused on something, you're gonna grow. But, you know, taking a look at that, is that something like that you do to kind of reflect occasionally, just like to look back and see how you've changed and how things around you have changed?
You know, that's something I'm still struggling with. So I've read the book. I've read like five of the books by Benjamin Hardy and Dan Sullivan. And, you know, 10X is better, easier than 2X, Gap and the Gain, like all of the books that they mentioned. I've read them. I listened to them. And now it needs to come down that I need to take that action, right? So some of the action that I'm already taking is, you know, recording these podcast episodes, you know, having these conversations. But then that when it comes time to do it, I'm like, okay, where do I even start? There's so many things. So that's something that I need to implement. I need to have a notebook by my bedside so I can take those notes. I'm like, okay, what was the good things that happened today? What am I planning for tomorrow so that I can, you know, streamline and get back into that flow?
Yeah. Dude, it's challenging, like implementing new stuff. I mean, you know, what is it, like less than 21 days every January? It's like, hey, I made New Year resolutions. We're going to kill it this year. Within 3 weeks, it's like vapor. So it's very much the challenge of implementing new habits and new processes. Gratitude is one of those that's super powerful, but any new habit, a new skill takes some time. And that's where, you know, when we implement and we do things, you know, that we're learning through any of those resources, that's where the magic happens.
That's right.
But, you know, I don't know about you. Maybe you've found this is I can read a book, Junaid, or listen to a course or a podcast or something. And if I listen to it again, like 3 months, 6 months, a year later, I'm picking up different stuff, man.
Oh,
it's like, you know, you're in a different place. Is that kind of the same thing?
Oh,
like you're picking up on stuff?
100%. And I've done this multiple times. So I've read the book, The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. I've read that a couple of times. I haven't done the Crushing It twice, you know, but there are other books. The One Thing, I've done that multiple times. And every time I listen to the book, it opens up new channels of my mind. Like, oh my God, I was thinking about it this way, because as human beings, we are on a journey. We are learning new things. And when you're on the other side of the door, you're going to see more things of what they were talking about behind the door. So I think that's been really powerful.
Yeah. New insights are revealed as we continue on the journey. So I think it's really easy for us as guys to, you know, get focused on where we're getting our worth. And a lot of us get our worth from career, our business, you know, that the working side of life, right? But I think we can find our worth there and steer clear of other areas where we don't feel like we have that worth or that confidence. How do you, because you're juggling four children, you've got, you know, multiple parts of businesses. I mean, and then you're attending events, you have a lot going on. How do you balance it without becoming hyper-focused on just, you know, the business side of life?
Well, my friend, we only have 24 hours in our day. And we can't be working every single hour. So what I did implemented 7 years ago was to bring on team members to handle the post-production of my podcast, right? I was recording all these episodes and I was like, no, I'm going to be the one editing all of this stuff because I don't need to spend money. I can do it. I know the tech, right? So it was 2019. I had recorded 40 episodes already and I still had to go back and edit them as well as record an intro for each one of them. And I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to pull this off? I don't have time. I'm working full time. And that's when I was like, okay, now is the time to bring somebody on board. So I brought somebody on board, trained them, got them acclimated, showed them the ropes. And then they were like, okay, let me try it out. They tried it, made some more tweaks, right? So you're continually giving them feedback till they get it right. And now it's all set. So I don't know if I told you, we were talking in the green room, how many episodes I'm recording per week.
Yeah.
So we were publishing one episode a week, then we switched to two episodes a week, and now we're doing daily episode on weekdays.
Mm.
So that's what we're publishing. And that's possible because I have a team. I have a team of people that can help me take the load off of the stuff that they are good at. I could be good at it, but that's not my zone of genius anymore, right? My zone of genius is to see and help people figure out the things that they can't figure out in the studio space, lighting, all of that stuff. So that's how I'm able to do so many things because I've got team members. And yes, it's hard initially because you don't want to give up control. It's your baby, it's your podcast, it's your book, like all of these things, right? But at the end of the day, you're not going to, like, at the end of the day, you're not going to be in bed and like, oh my God, I should have recorded that thing the other way. No, you're going to be like, oh my God, I should have spent more time with my kids. I should have spent more time building that Lego set. I should have spent more time going out and riding bikes with them. That's the thing that we're going to talk about, not the things that take our time.
Yeah. It's almost like those deathbed regrets that you'll hear people talk about. It's not like, hey, I wish I'd gotten these three contracts through, you know, at work or, you know, anything along those lines. What I love that you're talking about, it's like you're now at five episodes, like one a day.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't start there.
No.
You know, like your goal may have been the five a day, but you built up to it. And I think that's what so many of us can look at and go, oh my gosh, you know, I would love to have somebody, you know, mow the lawn to do whatever, you know, to help me have more space to have more breathing room in life or to be more effective.
Exactly.
And it's like, maybe it's just a matter of starting out with, hey, I'm going to have somebody come and do this one time a month and grow it to two times a month. And that perpetual improvement over time, rather than seeing it as like a black or white, it's either got to be everything or nothing.
Yeah.
You're looking almost like growth, right?
It is
growth. I may not be able to, my toddler, right? You know, looking at your kids growing up, it's not like you're going, you've got to run or you can't crawl.
Right. You know, no, right. They're starting the crawling process. They're starting like my youngest now, I would say he's like 90% potty trained, right? So he'll still have an accident, but he's there now, right? But the rest of kids, everybody uses the bathroom, of course. Of course, everybody walks, of course, but it didn't happen overnight. It took time, right? It takes time and energy. And when I started the podcast, I wasn't publishing even weekly. I would like, okay, I posted an episode this week. I don't know if I have the energy to record one more or edit one more. So there was times that I was missing publishing an episode, but that was the first years, which is totally fine. It's the it's a growth mindset. You know, you continually improve 1% at a time on a daily basis, and you get better over time.
Yeah. So when you are starting something new, right, or you're delegating, right? You talked about doing that, giving it to a teammate. When you're doing a new skill, and let's say, Junaid, it doesn't, you know, you're not firing on all pistons. Some of the stuff drops through.
Yeah.
How do you focus more on the positive, the times that, you know, you have made it, and then still be aware of, hey, I've got room for improvement, mm-hmm. without being like, oh my gosh, I'm such an idiot. How do you keep that balance there where you're celebrating the success and aware of the shortcomings without being like, I'm tossing everything out the window because it's not going 100% right?
You know, that's the hardest thing to do for any of us is to, how do you give yourself grace? How do you stay in a mode of gratitude? Because just recently, and I don't know if you heard, but Todd Cochran of Blueberry passed away at 61.
Yeah.
60, he's so young, right? And you never know when you're going to go. So having these regrets is not doing you any favors, right? Give away those regrets. Give up those things, because the more present we are with the people that are around us, the more at peace you'll find your brain. And yes, I'm not perfect at it. I'm always working on it. It's a continual process for us to find that gratitude and, you know, prioritize what truly matters. And when you think about that bigger why are you doing this on a daily basis, it makes it much easier to then give yourself grace, to then give yourself, you know, be grateful and celebrate the little wins. So perfect example when you talked about the book, The Gap and the Gain. We always are focusing on the gap. We're never focusing on the gain, right? So how do you focus on the gain? There's an exercise in the book. It's like, hey, every time you go to bed, just write down 3 good things that happened. In the beginning, it's going to be hard. And yes, I need to work on this. It's going to be hard in the beginning. But as you do more of it, guess what? Once you've built a habit, you're going to find more things to write down in there. And, you know, have that gratitude of being above ground. We are alive. We're living a luxurious life, right? In this country, 8 billion, you know, billions of people don't have this kind of access to what we have. So look at the people. So in Islam, we are taught to look at the people that don't have what you have, right? Mm-hmm. We practice as Muslims in Ramadan, we're fasting for 30 days. Now, it's not 30 days straight. We're fasting from, you know, sunrise to sunset. But it's to bring that awareness that not everybody has what it takes. I was interviewing this lady and she's like, she was homeless. She didn't have food for days. Right now she's running this amazing coaching business, but she didn't have all of that at one point in her life. Right? So look at those things and find where you are today and see who doesn't have. I think there was a really cool story where there's this man, he has no arms and no legs, and he's jumping around. And there's a guy who has no arms, and he's like, oh my God, I have no arms. Why is this guy so happy? I don't know if he had no legs. Anyways, he walks over to the guy. He's like, dude, why are you so happy and jumping around? He's like, oh my God, I have this crazy itch on my back and I can't get to it.
Man.
It's perspective, right? What do we have? God's given us, you know, sight, hearing, all of these things. So find the smallest thing that you can find and be grateful for it. And guess what? Everything washes away.
Yeah. Perspective is so powerful. And I think we kind of dismiss it or overlook it and just kind of get so focused and fixated on lack that we forget to say, like, hey, I have food, or just whatever you have that you might be without in another situation.
And it's not our fault either.
Yeah.
It's not our fault because the television, the news station, like literally everybody's pushing this lack mentality, this scarcity mentality. Everybody's pushing it. But if you just step outside into the sun doesn't say, I'm not going to shine over here today. The sun just gives and gives. The air just gives and gives. When it rains completely everywhere, unless it's isolated thunderstorms, then, you know, that's a different story. But think about that, right? So there is abundance in this world. We have so much abundance. So, and if that's the thing that you're struggling with, find a community that's going to inspire you, that's going to encourage you, that's going to help you face the struggle that you might be, you know, running through.
Going it alone puts us in such a vulnerable spot it's almost like trying to build like a tower with, you know, like missing one, you know, piece of wood every part. It's like, man, Jenga is not how you want
to
build it.
No, sir.
Well, as you're going through all this, you know, like keeping an eye on all the different areas of life and being present in them, that's a lot of energy that you're both putting out to be aware and be, you know, present in those areas. How do you avoid, you know, like burnout or just running out of energy? I mean, it's something that is so prevalent.
Yeah.
And with go, 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 you know, how do you avoid it? How are you proactive to say, like, hey, I'm coming and showing up in the best way that I can for all these things before me without sacrificing myself, right?
Yeah. It's such a powerful question. And, you know, the point of view of, you know, we live in this hustle culture. And I was watching this video recently and this, he's a Muslim brother and he's talking about, you know, there's two ends, you know, there's the hustle culture. You got to hustle everything. And then there's the culture. You just got to pray. Just got to pray and everything's just going to come to you. Well, that prayer is not going to pay for nothing. So you got to come in the middle, you know, and you got to do the work, but then you also need to, you know, pray to God, ask for help. So when I was taking on too much, when I was, hitting the wall, I was getting exhausted. I was like, okay, the best thing I can do is take some more breaks, take some more time, you know, get out on the bike, taking those hobbies, what those hobbies are doing. You're no longer using your left side of your brain of logic. Now you're using your right side of the brain with creativity, building Lego sets with your kids or riding a bike outside or beekeeping or whatever have you. Those hobbies help you rejuvenate, you know, help fill you back up, because you can't give anybody anything if you're empty. Right? And when you have people around you that support you in that way, that empower you, again, I keep going back to community, because so much of my life is dependent or is built on top of communities that I was part of. You know, I was part of community of cyclists, part of community of beekeepers. When I was building computers and doing software design, I was part of communities that did software design and graphic design and whatnot. I get to talk about different things. And it just makes it so much easier to then, you know, re-energize and whatnot. Another thing that people don't realize, they're taking all sorts of pills. But to rejuvenate your body, you got to make sure you're getting enough sleep. It's built into our human body, right? If you sleep enough, you're going to get rejuvenation. So yes, I take a ton of naps throughout the day when I can, right? And it helps me get back into energy so that I can go back and do the work.
So when you're taking naps or going out for a bike, right, you're doing stuff to help yourself. Junaid, one of the biggest barriers for guys seems to be almost like this guilt, mm-hmm. you know, of, well, if I do this, then am I really, you know, invested in, you know, moving my career? Like yeah. it's a detraction, right? This mm-hmm. is me messing around. And I think there's a difference between taking a nap, going out cycling, going to the gym, investing in ourselves versus, you know, scrolling through short videos yeah. or, you know, playing games, you know, on our phone or on our console, right?
Yeah.
Is there a way that you look at it to say, like, this is an investment, not like a detraction or something that's taking away?
Yeah. I do, because you're absolutely right. I love the word investment, right? You're investing in yourself. And a lot of us, we're not taught investing the way that we invest. We spend a ton of money going to school, right? We're investing in our education. We spend a ton of money on those kind of things. You know, I'm investing in my future by putting it in 401k, right? But how are you investing in the present? Because this is where you are right now. You're not in the future. You're not in the past. You are right here, right now. How do you get over that? Well, you need to, again, write down that vision, write down that path. When, for example, if you want to go to Costco, if you want to go to a store that you've never been to, what are you going to do? You're going to pull up the phone, type in the address or search for it, type in the address, and then follow the directions.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have that map laid out for yourself. Where do you want to be? How are you going to get there? So you figure out, I want to get here. And then, like, okay, where is here? Who's already there, right? So you find somebody that you can model against. And James Clear talks about this in his book, in Atomic Habits. Become that identity. If you identify as a runner, if you identify as somebody who's an athlete, who's somebody who lifts weight or eats healthy, are you going to go in the middle of the night and eat something that's not healthy? Probably not. And it's going to get you to that destination much faster. So then you reverse engineer. And yes, it sounds complicated, but it's very simple, because you just got to find that one model that you want to follow. Now, a lot of us that believe in religion or have, you know, strong beliefs, so, you know, Christianity, Judaism, Muslims, we all have those models defined for us. What did Prophet Muhammad do, right? And we have access to books like the Quran, the Bible, and there are stories in there that tell you exactly what you need to do. My habit has been to get up in the morning, I do my morning prayers, and then I read the surah. It's surah number 73, Al-Muzammil, which is the wrapped one. Because when we go to sleep, we're wrapping ourselves, you know, we're going to sleep. And in the book, it's in that chapter, it says, get up in the middle of the night and pray and read from the Quran, because we will provide for you. Because we are literally put on this earth to worship God. That's it. Everything else is ancillary. Our primary objective is to worship God. That's why he put us on earth. I mean, we came from Adam, who was born and created on heaven, which is not even on planet Earth. We are all aliens on this planet. We're being tested. So we got to go back to basics, got to go back to where we come from. And when we do that, it's so much easier to then say, okay, I can do this. There's other people doing it. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, you're not the only one. It's regardless of how it feels, we're not the only one.
Yes, we're not.
Well, Junaid, man, thank you so much for sharing your journey, how, you know, you've made the transition. And if anybody thinks like, hey, I am here, there is nothing else available to me, I can't get out, your story shows that, you know, that is not the case. Mm-hmm. That things are always in motion, and there is, you know, with intentionality, yeah, you know, being focused and purposeful, there's a way to change. And it may not be perfect, mm-hmm, but focus on that change and, you know, have that awareness.
Yeah.
So, you know, outside of this podcast, I know you've, you know, you've got the web development, you know, you've got the podcast editing, and then you've got the home studio mastery. If people are interested in, you know, one of those, how can they get in touch with you to, you know, change where they're at? Maybe that's where their roadblock. How do they remove that roadblock, yeah, in connecting with Junaid?
Well, head on over to any of the platforms. Just look up Super Junaid, Instagram, Facebook, whatever have you. I'm there. And if you want to learn more about the home studio business, head on over to homestudiomastery.com. I've also written a book, 7 Stages of Home Studio Evolution. So you can grab that book on homestudiobook.com.
Awesome. Junaid, thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
Always amazing to get together with you, buddy. And today has been no exception at all. So thank you.
It's easy when it's with you, man. It's easy when it's with you. So thank you so much.
I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, my friend, for joining me on another episode. If you found the information within the show helpful, please leave a review on the platform you're listening to. It helps raise the show's visibility so other men can join us in breaking free. See you on the next episode, and remember to continue putting yourself out there. Have a great one.